Accession number 9269, Reel 2.
Mr. Connor, Reel 2.
Yes, in some of those villages there's a bit of a guard in there, you know, raise a bit of things, but the wages must have been very poor. Well, they were barefooted and most of the people dressed in kind of rags they were. Well, they're working in the oil places and the sugar works. And there must have been very, very hungry, a lot of them, because you used to give them, used to come round our place, the house where we were billeted in, you used to give the kiddies corned beef sandwiches and things like that. You used to be glad of it.
I think you said that there was a big contrast in standard of living between the rich and poor there.
Oh, very, very much, yeah. You see the English people out there, the great big type colonial houses, the tennis courts, the swimming pools. Yeah, as many servants as are required, near enough. Whereas the others are living in the little huts, what they call the barracks, and nothing at all, the dirt floors. Just one room, maybe about 7 or 8 people in there.
Were people friendly towards the Marines or not?
Oh yes, they're very friendly to us. Never give us any trouble.
Did you ever come across any hostility?
No. No, there one time there was almost about 1,000 of the people. There's round a pay office in one sugar works, waiting for the pay. It looked like they were going to start a riot, but we just walked down the road towards them. There were 12 in front and many behind, and they just parted and they never bothered with us. Right, that turned us, the rough, I suppose, had seen us off, but they didn't do. And they just saw us marching down there. Never bothered us.
Now, I think also in the pre-war period, you had something to do with an earthquake in Chile.
The who?
In Chile.
Chile. Oh yes, an earthquake in Chile. 1939. It was a Conception. Well, it was at that place. Did about a week there. Went up the coast of Valparaiso. I was ashore that night. And there was a tremor. We were in a bar and the place shook a bit. And there's all the Chileans and out in the streets. They shouted out, "Terremotos, terremotos," that's Spanish for earthquake. And then we went back aboard and we got word through there'd been a big earthquake just down the coast where we'd left a day or so before. And so the Commodore placed the ship at the disposal of the Chilean government and they asked us to go down there. And so we went down and sent some of the men ashore to blow up some of the buildings, what was shaky. And we took all the refugees on board with an old water facilities ashore. We took them up to Valparaiso and then went back and brought some more up. And we took some soldiers down. And then there was one battleship in Valparaiso. It was called the Almirante La Torre. It took her about 2 days to raise enough steam to get her anchor off the seabed. She came down eventually. And then they sent us a signal. Can you send us some fresh water? Oh. We thought the fresh water were for the refugees. It wasn't for the crew. They couldn't distill their own water. We took all, it took about three boatloads up to Valparaiso, refugees, stacked them out. And then we just sailed after that and left them.
What condition did the refugees seem to be in?
Well, they were in a shock state, and lots of them had been, you know, lots of the family they had. And the men who went ashore said the ploughs were all piled up with dead, and all the buildings tumbled down. But they couldn't help them, couldn't the children? They sent some soldiers down there, I don't know what good they did ashore, but they managed to get them all out eventually. But when they got them to Valparaiso, there weren't very many facilities for refugees, just piled them into halls, I don't know what happened to them after.
Did you go ashore yourself at Conception?
No, I didn't go ashore, no.
Did the Chilean ship get fresh water from you then?
Huh?
Did the Chilean ship get fresh water from you?
Oh yes, they got fresh water from us, yeah.
What was the earthquake like to experience?
You mean ashore in the bars?
Yes.
Ah, well, the place shook a bit, and the plaster was dropping off the roof, and there was a band up on a bandstand built in the wall, and they all vanished. Shouting was, vamos, vamos, terremotos, but we stayed in there drinking our beer. They're saying loco English, man. They didn't know, it seemed safe enough in there.
So no buildings collapsed?
No, not in Valparaiso.
Now, one thing that we forgot to mention about the Battle of the River Plate was the question of protective clothing in those days. Can you tell me what you had?
I didn't have any protective clothing. The Marines had their own steel helmets. Part of the cape over there were down in the storeroom. I didn't have any life jackets. As regards protective clothing, well, the only thing you had on really were your boiler suits, I reckon. There was nothing else. And so when the war progressed, then you got clothing, you got gloves for your hands, you got a mask over your face, the anti-flash gear, they called it. So your hands were covered up, your face was covered up. And you always had a life belt, and you wore your steel helmets. But when the war started, there was nothing of that.
So a lot of people could have been saved if they'd have had protective clothing.
Those with head wounds, if they'd been wearing a steel helmet, it would have helped them a bit. And those who got burned, if they wearing the protective clothing, the gloves or the gauntlets comes up right up your arm, and the headpiece, it'd have saved a lot of burns on. No, so it was a good job the ship didn't go down, with no such thing as life belts. They managed to get the boats away, a lot of the boats had been smashed, carry floats and that, there were a lot of people drowned. But same as anything else, you just got to learn as things go along. The next ship I went to, she was issued with a life belt of protective clothing.
I think this was the Bonaventure, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about how the Bonaventure was sunk and how you were saved from that?
Well, I just turned out to get dressed for the morning watch. There were two dull thuds from aft. And I knew then it was torpedoes, it wasn't gunfire. So I just grabbed my clothes and got through the what they call the canteen flat, which were next to the Marines mess deck. Well, the Marines mess decks in those days were always aft, the aft mess deck. I got through that door, but in that ship there were one door, about 2 foot six wide, that's all, to get aft. You had about 400 men trying to get through that door, but I say I was lucky, I was one of the first. Got through there, and got in the waist of the ship. Of course, the starboard side were all flames. I went up the ladder on the forecastle on the port side, stayed there until we got the order to abandon ship. And so I just had to slide in there on the ship's side, into the water and swimming until a destroyer picked us up, the Hereward. She came round, I don't know how long it was, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. She hoped they would flash the light and made our way towards her.
What was it like in the sea?
Well, it was oily, and some of the men were choking on some of the oil fuels in the water. Swallowed it, some were drowning, you could hear them drowning. It was pitch dark, but all you could do was just plod on and try to keep afloat.
Did you swallow any oil?
No, I didn't, no. Some of them did, they got burns of stomach out of that stuff. It also clogged their ears and the eyes. But just kept doing the breaststroke and kept the head above the water. We were taught in our early days when we was training down at Deal. The instructor says, do the breaststroke. But in those days you had to do a swimming test. And he told us, he said, they found out from the First World War, with oil fuel and that, you get choked with it. It clogs your eyes, ears, nose, and it's the best thing to do is breaststroke. And so I just toddled on doing the breaststroke and just kept going and going until saw the light flash and then swam over towards it.
Did the fuel oil have any effect on your skin?
No, not really. But looking back now in a distance, I think they sent a lot of those men out to sea. They weren't fully trained. The seamen, I'm saying the Marines were all right. The pre-war men, most of them, except for about 12, but they'd gone through their full training. They were pretty well trained. But a lot of the seamen, they were only young lads. They'd done about 3 months maybe at a training place and banged on a ship. They had to learn the hard way. Of course, they couldn't afford to give them long training during the war. Because when I came onto the upper deck, there were a whaler there, a full of young seamen, and they loosened the davits, get the boat, but of course the ship tilted and the boat is swung inboard, the whaler. And there was the boatswain's mate, who were on the exit with me, he was a well-known bloke, Bugsy Condon. When I came out, he was saying to the blokes on the ship, in the boats, get out of that boat so we can lift it up. A word to that effect, of course. And I bust out. I said, hello, Bugs. I said, the best of luck. He says, what a shower I got here, oil. You see, those young lads have no idea.
How cold was this in the water?
Cold?
Cold.
Well, it was a bit chilly, but it didn't feel too bad. It was in the Mediterranean. March, well, it's not very hot in the Mediterranean in March, but we didn't feel the cold very much.
How long were you in the water personally?
Oh, I don't know, about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. You just lost count of time.
Could you see other people?
Well, you could hear them. Hear them about, and then when the Hereward flashed a light, she was from over towards the light, and they had scrambling nets over, and we climbed up the scrambling nets. I got on board. There were no clothes on. The only thing I had on were a pair of socks and a vest. So you didn't bother me. Clothes, and they gave us a blanket each, and they pulled a lot of the men out who was swallowed a lot of oil, and they had them on the mess tables pumping them out if they could do, but a few of them died with the effects of the oil.
What kind of treatment did you get from the crew of the Hereward?
A bit of good. They brought home the soup and coffee and all that, and cigarettes. They went to Alexandria. They put it ashore in Alexandria. It took us by coaches up to a camp. They called it Kelia. It was a naval air camp, the old tents there and that. And then the Red Cross gave us little paths over, the pair of pyjamas in and toothbrush, shaving gear. And then we went down to our stores and got kitted up. Went down to the dockyard at Alexandria and they gave us some suits.
Could you see how the Bonaventure sank when she went down?
No, no, somebody said she's going now. I looked around and she's just going down. The bows were just going under.
The front of the ship went down first?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she went downstairs first. Of course, see, she got hit aft. And the engine rooms, ballrooms and all that flooded up and slowly she went down. Of course, we're all in there. It'd only been aboard, I think it was August or March, that's all. So I didn't know many of them personally. You know, just your own crowd, that's all.
Did you lose all your property then?
Hmm?
Did you lose all your property?
Oh yes, everything.
And money as well?
Yeah, well, we didn't have much money. But it wasn't paid here, I don't think. It was a couple of pounds or something in the trouser pocket. We didn't bother about that. I don't think you were... They said abandoned ship over and away. Some of them, I think, they jumped before they said abandoned ship and they got left behind. When a ship gets hit, she's still got way on her. She's still going until she absolutely stops and goes under. But I went on the upper deck and hear some in the water, then they jumped overboard. I said, well, they must have been left behind and drowned.
Now, going ahead a bit further, you joined the Orion, and I think you were at the Battle of Fakrit on the Orion.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, after the Bonaventure went down in that camp, and we got drafted to the Orion, there were about 12 of us went to the Orion, some went to the Gloucester. Of course, those boats went to the Gloucester and west when the Gloucester went down. The one or two went to different ships up and down. And then we was sweeping out, then we first of all went over to Greece. We evacuated the troops from Greece and took them over to Crete and left them ashore in Crete.
Where did you evacuate from Greece?
Where?
Yes.
Piraeus, where I think it was.
What condition were the troops in who you evacuated from?
Well, all right. They fought all the way back. A lot of Aussies and New Zealanders. They took them over to Crete. And then afterwards, when the Germans invaded Crete with the paratroopers, they sent us up there to evacuate them and things got tough. There was also the Ajax and about four destroyers. We got attacked by planes at night time on the way there, and the Ajax got damaged, got a near miss. I think it affected the steering, she had to turn back. So there was the Dido cruiser and the destroyers. We got told that we pick up all the troops and get away from the straits between Crete and I think it was Kos, the island, before dawn. And then we had the RAF over to give us protection. But when we was coming back, the Imperial, she got engine trouble. So they had to abandon her and take all the crew and the soldiers off her. And we sunk her with torpedoes. Then when it came down, we were right in just alongside Kos. And the planes started coming over all the time, and the dive bombers, the machine gunning and dive bombing. Did the Hereward, the ship off, picked us up off the Bonaventure, and she turned round and beat herself on Crete. And then did the Dido, and then they hit us twice, did the forward turret and blew that up. The drop one bomb right down in the mess decks, which was packed over with soldiers. A lot of the soldiers got killed down there. And then we were just staggering along. We got oil fuel, salt water in the oil fuel, reduced our speed. And the after magazine was flooded up. The bulkheads between the oil fuel and that cracked. The magazine was flooded. And we only had a few 6-inch left. And the 4-inch were firing all the time. And they started running out of ammunition. The fine star shell had finished. And then, and of course, they're getting away from the dive bombers' range. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the one plane came over, a bullfighter of the RAF, the first plane we saw, the British planes. They made it into Alexandria, and that was it.
Whereabouts was your action station on the Orion?
Exeter.
Where was that?
That was at. I was on the 6-inch, the 6-inch guns. When the magazines got flooded, we didn't have much ammunition left, the 6-inch. It's called 6-inch, really, and not much use against planes. Only for surface and bombarding and that. It's a 4-inch in the Orlikans, the firing of planes.
But how many rounds do you think you fired? How many rounds do you think you fired?
Oh, I don't know. I kept firing and firing, you know. Long range at him. You could see him in the distance. I had a few long range. And so we put to Alexandria and got the ship patched up. They went over to America then on the leased land to get the repairs. They went over to Mare Island, San Francisco.
Coming back to Koss, in what kind of numbers were the German dive bombers?
Yeah, how many numbers?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon about 160 attacks or something on us.
And were there hundreds of them, or dozens, or what?
Oh. Yeah, well, they're coming over, dropping the bombs, and they're going back, refueling, rearming, and out again. There's a shuttle service on them. There's all the time coming over.
So how long did this last, that you were under fire at Koss?
Oh, from about dawn till about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Was it calm conditions or not?
Ah, they're coming over all the time and dropping the bombs and away again.
But was the weather calm or not?
Oh, it's not bad. Yeah, pretty calm.
Did anybody in X turret get hit?
No. No, they'll be all right after.
So most of the hits were in
forward,
the
forward, yeah. Yeah. One of the former turret and one went down through the bridge and exploded the mess decks.
Did you see the carnage down there?
Yeah, I was in the turret all the time. With the fire and repair party, you know, to seal it off. We'll get the hose pipes out and pull all the bodies over and just over the side with them. You can do nothing with them. And they sealed the place off after in Alexandria. They got the gypsies to take out all the remainder of them. And they sprayed the place with disinfectant and then bolted the doors. And just left it shut then, until we got to America.
Do you know which units the soldiers came from?
No, well, they're all kinds mixed up from Crete. There's Aussies, New Zealanders, and the British soldiers. They're pretty at time, those soldiers. I'm sure they fought their way across Crete, came aboard us, thought they were safe, and they got killed aboard the ship.
Which was the worst of the three experiences, the Orion, the Bonaventure, or the River Plate?
I think of the Orion was when you pounded all day long. And so the River Plate didn't last very long. In the Bonaventure, it only matter about an hour or two when you were aboard a ship and back in Alex. The Orion was all day long, you got hammered at them.
Did you see any of the German planes being hit at Kos?
Oh, there were a few got hit, yeah. You see, we were closed up inside, you couldn't see outside. Instead of brought one or two of them down. But a German, with Stukas, is a kind of psychological effect. So we were outside once when some were coming down, they got the machine guns blaring out and they're coming screaming down, they looked to come in straight for you.
What was your attitude towards the Germans? Did you hate them or not?
No, not really. You see, we never mixed with the Germans. Actually, the only Germans really we met when the war started was a merchant ship we stopped. But of course, they scuttled it. That was early on, 1940, I think it was, or 41. They scuttled and we got on the boat and pulled over to us. And so we took them on board.
Was this about the Exeter or the Bonaventure?
I think it was the Bonaventure. And the one fella came on board with his dog, an old German seaman. He must be in his, well, of course he was old to me then, he was in his 50s or so. And of course you can't have a dog aboard a ship. And he couldn't take it with him to an internment camp. As one of the officers took it on the quarter deck and shot it and put it overboard, which was only a humane thing he could do, he couldn't do anything else. And the poor old German was stood there with tears rolling down his cheeks. You speak a bit of English broken. My dog, I bad that dog, sail with it 12 years, and now shoot it. I felt sorry for the poor old bloke.
Do you know what the name of the ship was?
No, I don't know. But there was another a crowd of Germans who did know. In those days, going from Brazil, the Germans used to have an airline, they call the Condor. And used to have a tender, used to go out to sea. The chance when she took off, she came down again. And then during that mutiny crisis, we shadowed that tender. Of course, those blokes were all merchant seamen. You should see them all the time, be sure, and that pool. But when we shadowed them, she was on one horizon, and she was ready to capture it. Anyway, after Munich, Chamberlain signed the Pact of Munich, or whatever he did sign, that bit of paper. We went back into Pernambuco, a place called Recife. She came in just after. We were sure in a bar that night, there were about four of them sat at a table alongside us. One of our fellow says, she almost had it that time, Fritz. He said, if it was declared war, he said, we'd have had you. And all these blokes were in the 50s or something like that. One could speak, well, most of them could speak English, those merchant seamen. He says, I do not want war. He says, you go home. He says, that's your father's. He says, do they want war? He says, I was on the Western Front 4 years. He says, so your father's must have been. He said, we don't want war. He says, I've seen enough of war in my time. He said, all I want is to go back to Hamburg. My mate says to him, I bet that's silly old so-and-so Hitler of yours. And he put his finger to his lips and he looked round the room and shh. Just said, shh, whether there's one of the Nazi members among the crew, and I don't know. But those fellas, it seemed okay. They're a good crowd of fellas. I used to have a drink with him often up and down the coast.